Lecture 13 Teaching Prep, Part 1. The Vocab Recap, The Conceptual Map, and the Miyazawa Labyrinths. Hey, Michael. Welcome to your prep for Lecture 13. This is Tuesday, May 12th, Week 7, the second half of the Color Patterns Unit. There are three things to hold in your head as you walk in. First, this is a bridge lecture, not a fresh start. Thursday, you ended with the Wolpert versus Turing dichotomy and the four-cell palette. Today, you pick up exactly where you left off and push two ways at once. You push deeper into the math with the Miyazawa labyrinths and Murray's scaling rule. And you push wider into the genetics with the master regulator toolkit and the ALX3 stripe story. The synthesis at the end is what makes the lecture work. Three knobs of pattern evolution, cell palette and patterning rule and master regulators. The lecture earns that three-knob payoff if you defend the pace through the middle and don't lose 10 minutes on Turing math. Second, Wednesday is Demo 7. The students show up to lab the next day and run Pavo on real fish images. The opening 12 minutes of today's lecture are explicit Demo 7 prep. You are reactivating the metrics they need, K and JC and JT and M and A and M underscore DS and M underscore DL. Don't skip this. If a student walks into the demo Wednesday without those abbreviations in their head, they will spend 40 minutes confused. The Pavo vocab block is a service you are providing to your own Wednesday lab. Third, the deck is long. 36 slides. You will not deliver every slide at full pace. The two natural cut targets if you are running long are the Murray geometry slide, the one about curved surfaces and effective diffusion, and the second Mimoulis slide on the guideless gene. Both are good, but neither is the spine. Cut them silently. Don't apologize for skipping. Part one of your prep covers the opening through the pufferfish pattern blending story. About 35 minutes of class time. Part two covers reaction diffusion math through the exit ticket. Let's start. Your title slide is up. Lecture 13. Color Patterns 2. The subtitle, Math Evolution and the Rules That Scale, is the spine of the lecture. Hold the slide for 3 seconds. Then advance. Slide 1 is announcements. Demo 7 prep URL. Office hours Tuesday 2 to 4. This is 30 seconds. Point at the URL. Say the line. If you show up Wednesday without her working, you will spend the first 20 minutes installing instead of doing science. Do it tonight. Then advance. Slide 2 is the color vocabulary slide. Hue, saturation, luminance. The big Hue-Will SVG is the visual anchor on the right. The three definitions are on the left. This is 90 seconds of clean vocabulary. Walk it briskly. Hue is what color, the wavelength identity. Saturation is how pure, vivid magenta high, washed out pink low, gray zero. Luminance is how bright, regardless of hue. Then the key Pavo move at the bottom. Chromatic boundaries change hue or saturation. Achromatic boundaries change brightness only. A black and white striped fish has high luminance contrast, but zero chromatic contrast. A rainbow fish can have huge chromatic contrast at moderate brightness contrast. Plant this distinction firmly. It is the conceptual basis for M underscore DS versus M underscore DL 3 slides from now. Slide 3 is the first TPS. Pavo pattern metrics review. Terminal phase RAS on the left, 3 questions on the right. 90 seconds discussion. 60 seconds cold call. The 3 questions are how many color classes, define JC and JT in your own words, and would you expect JC and JT to be high or low for this fish? Walk among them. Listen. The most common error is oversplitting. Students see 6 or 7 colors because they treat shading variations as distinct color classes. Push them to group similar hues. The right answer is 3 to 4 colors. Magenta body, cyan chin and tail, yellow pectoral patch, maybe a dark eye. JC is moderate because 3 bold colors cover large areas. Not low because there are multiple colors. Not high because 3 is not a lot. JT is low to moderate because with 3 colors in big patches, there are only a few boundary types. Cold call 2 pairs. Validate the moderate answers visibly. Then advance. Slide 4 is the answer reveal for K, JC, and JT. Don't dwell. 60 seconds. The key intuition to land is that JT depends on both how many colors and how they are arranged. If Few colors in big patches means few transition types. A mosaic with the same colors would have higher JT. Then advance. Slide 5 is the second TPS. The harder one. Compare two fish. The colorful terminal phase RAS on the left, the juvenile thalassoma with horizontal stripes on the right. 90 seconds discussion. Two questions. Define M and A. For fish B, predict whether A is greater than, less than, or roughly equal to 1. Then define M underscore DS and M underscore DL. Which fish has higher M underscore DS? Which has higher M underscore DL? This is where students need the most help. M is transition density, total boundary complexity. The striped thalassoma has more boundaries per unit area because the stripes are fine. So fish B is higher M. A is aspect ratio, vertical over horizontal. The thalassoma has strong horizontal stripes, so vertical transitions outnumber horizontal ones, which means A is less than 1. The RAS has large patches with no strong directional bias, so A is roughly equal to 1. The harder pair is M underscore DS versus M underscore DL. M underscore DS is mean chromatic boundary strength, how much hue changes at a boundary. Fish A, the rainbow RAS, has magenta to yellow to cyan transitions, dramatic hue shifts. High M underscore DS. Fish B has stripes, but the stripes are mostly dark to light transitions with less hue change. Lower M underscore DS. M underscore DL is mean luminance boundary strength, how much brightness changes. Fish B has sharp dark stripe light interstripe boundaries. High M underscore DL. Fish A also has brightness contrasts, but they're more gradual. Moderate M underscore DL. Cold call. Then advance. Slide 6 is the answer reveal for M, A, M underscore DS, M underscore DL. About 2 minutes. The right column has the abbreviations mnemonic table. M is mean. A is aspect. D is delta. S is saturation, the chromatic term. L is luminance, the brightness term. So M underscore DS is mean delta saturation at boundaries, chromatic strength. M underscore DL is mean delta luminance at boundaries, brightness strength. Walk that table once. Once a student sees that D means delta and S means saturation and L means luminance, the rest of the abbreviations stop being mysterious. Then deliver the bridge line. These are the metrics you will compute on Wednesday with Pavo. Now, let's get back to the Turing answer from Thursday. Advance. You are about 12 minutes in. The vocab recap is done. The lecture pivots now. Slide 7 is the 4 ways to make a pattern. The conceptual map for everything that follows. For boxed mechanism cards. Turing self-organization. Positional information. Hybrid blending. Regulatory switches. Walk each box. Turing is local activation plus long-range inhibition. Examples are zebrafish stripes and pufferfish labyrinths. Positional information is cells reading where they are on a tissue. Examples are mimulus nectar guides and butterfly wing modules. Hybrid blending is 2-parameter sets meeting in the same skin. Examples are salmonid hybrids and Arothron pufferfish. Regulatory switches are small changes in when or where master regulators are expressed. Examples are WNTA, Optix, ALX3, Connexin 41.8. The teaching move here is not that these boxes are mutually exclusive. The teaching move is that real pattern biology often combines them. Butterfly wing modules are positional information at the developmental level, but their evolution is dominated by regulatory switches. Ask the room rhetorically, where would you put the RAS we just scored? Don't take answers. Just plant the question. Total time on this slide is about 4 minutes. Slide 8 is the Thursday TPS callback. 2 cichlid photos. The striped Melanochromis auratus, the barred Pseudotrophius demisoni. The cross prediction. Most of you predicted intermediate stripes, some stripes, some bars, a blend. 30 seconds. Just flash the images and ask who remembers what they predicted. Don't answer yet. Advance. Slide 9 is the answer. Labyrinths. This is the dramatic reveal slide. The big white photo card at the top has the Miyazawa LN model figure, the spots to labyrinth to inverse spot sequence on a sphere. The fragments below add the second figure with 3 different Turing models, all showing the same path. Start with only the first figure visible. Say something close to this. Imagine the patterning rule running on the surface of a sphere. We are not drawing spots by hand. We are changing one tuning parameter in the activator-inhibitor system. Walk left to right. Initially, local activator peaks stabilizes spots. As the activation-inhibition balance shifts, the spots connect into a labyrinth. Farther along the sweep, the polarity flips and the background becomes the spot. Then advance the fragment to show all three rows. The key teaching beat is that this is not a quirk of one model. Three different Turing models, the linear LN model, the Geier-Meinhardt model, the Gray-Scott model, all show the same spots to labyrinth to inverse spot sequence. The labyrinth zone is a generic property of reaction diffusion systems. Then the biological logic. Turing parameters are quantitative traits. If they are determined by multiple loci, hybrids inherit intermediate values. Intermediate values land in the labyrinth zone. The hybrid pattern is predicted to be labyrinthine, not a blend of spots and stripes. Something genuinely new. 2 minutes on this slide. Then the bridge. That's the prediction from math. Can we test it with real fish? Advance. Slide 10 is Miyazawa 2010, the setup. Salmonid hybrids. Big four panel figure on the left. Story prose on the right. Tell it as a story. Two salmonid species live in the same Japanese rivers. One has light spots on a dark background, the white spotted char. The other has dark spots on a light background, the Misu salmon. In Turing terms, these are on opposite sides of parameter space. They occasionally hybridize naturally, and Miyazawa also made artificial crosses. The hybrid, both natural and artificial, shows a labyrinthine pattern that neither parent has. Sinuous worm-like markings. Exactly what the simulation predicted. 2 minutes. Slide 11 is the 4x4 hybrid grid. Miyazawa 2010 figure 4. The full proof. For salmonid species. Within group crosses, light by light or dark by dark produce parent-like patterns. Across group crosses, light by dark produce labyrinths every time. 8 intergeneric combinations, all labyrinthine. Panel E is the scatter plot. Hybrids sit at intermediate color tone but higher pattern complexity than either parent. Transgressive. More complex than both parents. This is the signature of nonlinear blending. The punchline. This is not one lucky cross. It is a systematic, repeatable result. 2 minutes. Then the bridge. So the 2010 paper proved it in salmonids. 10 years later, Miyazawa asked, does pattern blending explain color diversity across all fishes? Advance. Slide 12 is the bigger question slide. Miyazawa 2020 figure 1. Bridge slide. 90 seconds. Don't go deep here. Just establish two facts. 1. Color patterns are more similar across distantly related species than among close relatives. Massive homoplasy. 2. Miyazawa tested pattern blending across 18,114 fish species from 559 families. The strongest association is between labyrinthine patterns and spot patterns. Exactly what blending predicts. Counterintuitive because labyrinths look like stripes, but the data say labyrinth co-occurs with spots. Then the teaser. Can we catch it in the act? Pufferfish, coming up after the cell biology block. Advance. Slide 13 is the student question slide. Why can small fish pattern but small mammals can't? Two photos on the left, the house mouse uniform and the zebrafish bold striped at similar body size. This was an actual student question from Thursday. Don't blow past it. The setup. Both use Turing dynamics, but different implementations. Two differences that matter. When and how? When. Mammals pattern the embryo when the skin domain is tiny. Fish pattern postembryonically on growing skin. So a mouse embryo can't fit even one wavelength and ends up uniform. A zebrafish larva is already several millimeters and growing, so even a small adult fish has many wavelengths of pattern. How? Mammals use molecular activator inhibitor pairs, WNT and DKK for hair follicle spacing, Eder pathway for skin appendages. Molecular diffusion gives a long wavelength. Fish use cell-cell interactions, melanophore-xanthophore repulsion plus gap junction support. Cell contact and gap junction reach give a shorter wavelength. Shorter wavelength means finer pattern. The important caveat. Don't say mammals can't do Turing. They can. The Murray slide later will show that they do. The question is why size constrains them more severely than fish. 2 minutes on this slide. Then advance. Slide 14 is the zebrafish three-cell system slide. GER 2020 figure 1A on the left. The Hebrew University Adadi Lab paper. The big idea is that a stripe is not made by one pigment cell. Three cell types. Melanophores, black, light-absorbing. Xanthophores, yellow-orange. Iridophores, reflective with guanine crystal stacks. The dark stripe and the light interstripe are local neighborhoods. Each neighborhood gives cells different signals. End with the question. Are stripe and interstripe iridophores the same cells in different places or different cell states? That is the question GER et al. Answered. 2 minutes. Slide 15 is the old model slide. Two-panel figure showing model 1 respecification versus model 2 differentiation in situ. The old model said iridophores start in the interstripe, then some cells move into the stripe and transform. Morphogenetic respecification. The new model says precursors settle in each neighborhood and differentiate there. Differentiation in situ. The analogy I want you to use is not people moving and changing jobs. The analogy is new arrivals in each neighborhood training for different jobs because the local environment tells them what to become. GER et al. Did time-lapse imaging and fate mapping. They watched thousands of cells. Dense interstripe iridophores did not migrate out and become loose stripe iridophores. So model 2 wins. 3 minutes. Slide 16 is the new model slide. Two iridophore crystallotypes. Crystallotype is the word to teach. A cell type distinguished by the architecture of its guanine crystals. Stripe iridophores are loose stellate cells with more ordered crystal arrays and blue-shifted reflection. Interstripe iridophores are dense cuboidal cells with different crystal organization and silver-yellowish appearance. Both use guanine. The crystal architecture differs. Why it matters for patterning. The reflective layer is itself patterned. Fish are not just arranging black and yellow pigment cells. They are also locally building different structural color cells. This is the clean bridge back to Tuesday's lecture. Fish can make fine adult patterns because their chromatophore palette is richer than mammalian melanocytes. 3 minutes. Slide 17 is the pattern blending hypothesis slide. Miyazawa 2020 figure 1 again, this time with the framework on the right. The teaching move. Cross two simple patterns and you get a labyrinth. The strongest association in the 18,000 species data set is labyrinthine plus spot patterns. Tease the pufferfish on the next slide. 2 minutes. Slide 18 is the pufferfish slide. Pattern blending caught in the act. Miyazawa 2020 figure 3, the Arothron pufferfish vertical panel on the left. This is the centerpiece of the Miyazawa vignette. Walk through carefully. The spotted parents. A. Firmamentum and A. Stellatus, on opposite sides of parameter space. The labyrinthine species. A. Multilineatus. A. Carduus. A. Mappa. Then the genomic proof. Whole genome sequencing of 12 Arothron species. The labyrinthine species are hybrids of spotted parents. PCA on 28 million SNPs put them between the parents. Admixture analysis estimated 50-50 ancestry. Interclass heterozygosity was 97 to 99%. They are early generation hybrids. The punchline. A. Multilineatus and A. Carduus were originally described as distinct species based on their peculiar skin patterns. They are not distinct species. They are hybrids. Pattern blending created camouflaged phenotypes that fooled taxonomists for over 100 years. 78% of possible trios among spotted and labyrinthine Arothron species showed significant Patterson's D, indicating widespread hybridization. 3 minutes. Slide 19 is the 18,000 species quantification. Figure 4A. Simulations match real pufferfish. Blue dots are RD predictions. Colored symbols are real Arothron species. Spotted at the extremes. Labyrinthine in the middle, intermediate tone, but higher complexity. Transgressive. Across all fishes, Bayesian phylogenetic analysis found correlated evolution of labyrinthine and spot motifs in 8 of 10 major fish orders. over 900 fish species with labyrinthine patterns across over 160 families. 2 minutes. Slide 20 is the pattern blending framework synthesis. Two coupled fields, same skin. Different wavelengths, different cell systems, additive in the final phenotype. The big idea. Pattern diversity is cheap to generate. Hybridization makes new patterns with no new genes needed. This may explain explosive cichlid radiations, same logic across fish, butterflies, and snakes. Land the punchline. The cell does the math. Selection picks the winners. End of part one. You are about 35 minutes into the lecture. Half done. Take a breath. Part two starts with the reaction diffusion math and Murray's scaling rule, then the master regulator toolkit, the ALX3-stripe story, plants, and the three-knob synthesis.